It's so good to be with you again and be able to assemble in the name of our Lord, be able to, be able to blend our thoughts and our minds, to be a part of that which is eternally important. So we have such a beautiful day today. It'll be a beautiful day to go play golf maybe or take a drive, but it's also such a beautiful day to be able to come together and sing some of these beautiful songs that we have sang in the last few minutes. Into our hands is given the light, and that Jesus saves. And then there's the idea of rescue the perishing. It makes our purpose and our resolve that much more important. So it's a beautiful day, and a beautiful day to be able to come together to worship God and be with you. Appreciate your presence, and I hope that so far that you've been blessed by your presence here. And Barbara's decided she wanted to be back with us today, and so I'm glad that she was able to come. We went to the doctor Wednesday, and he gave her a whole line of things he thought was going very well. Then he asked her, do you have any questions? She said, can I go to church services? And he said, well, I'd never tell anybody not to go to church services, but he said, just be careful. And so it's good for her to be able to be with you again. She's wanted to see you all and talk to many of you. And it's good to try to get back into the routine, as difficult as it's been for the last year or so. A routine, something we'd all enjoy. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus says some words that crop up, maybe not in exactly those words, but in thought, several times through the Bible. And it's almost a constant plea. And it was almost that which Jesus was continually putting forth before people. When you read, beginning in the 13th chapter, you'll see verse 1, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude, or great multitudes, were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he begins to speak in parables. Here in the 13th chapter of Matthew, he gives a series of 6 or 7 really important parables and studies. But the first one is what we know of as the parable of the sower. He said, a sower went forth to sow seed, and some fell by the wayside, some among stony ground, and then thorny ground, and then good ground. And he says in verse 8, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some of 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then in verse 9, he adds this thought. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he uses that several times in different places about different things. I mean, here he's just simply talking about the gospel, the kingdom will go forth, and quite obviously will be the sowing of seed, and seed takes hold in fertile ground and produces fruit. And again, I think we understand he's talking about, you know, the preaching of the gospel. But, well, like, for example, if you back up a couple pages to the 11th chapter, he's talking about something completely different. But another point that's important in the 11th chapter of Matthew, and we won't read it all, look at verse 13. 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 13. He says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. Verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's not talking about just preaching the gospel there and the fruit that's born by it. Here he's talking about the change from one covenant to another, and that it would be preceded by the announcement of the coming of Elijah, which was John the Baptist. But Jesus is making the same point. He's talking about, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about just for a little while. Let him hear. He's not talking about actually the physical ear on the side of your head. I knew a guy that didn't have an ear, but he could hear just as well as anybody else. But he's talking about that internal quality. Maybe he's talking about the ability to hear and understand. Maybe he's talking about the ability to hear with just maybe an interest. But there's something more going on here. And he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what is being said. And then toward the end of the Gospels, or not the Gospel, but the New Testament, we know that there are seven letters written to seven churches in Asia in the second and third chapter of Revelation. And this is Jesus speaking to each one of these congregations. And he says at the end of each one of these letters, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. So in the gospel, like in Matthew and in other places, it seems like he's talking to a broad group of Jewish people, and he's pleading with them, listen to what I'm telling you about the coming Messiah and the kingdom and things of that nature. But it's not just confined to Jewish people trying to understand who this Galilean carpenter is. He could also apply it to churches of the Lord. And he said, I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And as a result, that includes us as members of the body of Christ. He said, if you have an ear, listen. Boy, how important is that today? I mean, well, I guess it's always been important. And it's also difficult. I mean, how many thousands of things are pleading for us to listen to them every day? And in our society of communication, just thousands of different places of things that are demanding our attention. And so Jesus was saying back there, and it's interesting also that it may very well be that Jesus may have been given just a passing interest by some groups of people. And when he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear, he is saying, listen to me. What I am saying is important. Pay attention to this. Kind of like when we were all younger. Listen to me. I heard Mom say that a few times. Look at me when I'm talking to you. I heard her say that too. And other times Jesus would not necessarily say those words, but he'd be saying that very thing. Like in Old King James, he would use the word verily. We don't use that word, but in verily, verily means truth. But in the Gospel of John, when John writes and records Jesus' statement, all through John, most of the time, many times, he will say, verily, verily. Like John 3 and verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Verily. Greek word for verily is amen. Just like we say amen. Except they said it a little different. But amen just meant the word truth. It is truth. Let it be so. Let it stand. Let it be understood that this is an announcement of truth. But Jesus didn't say just verily. He said verily, verily. Truthfully, truthfully. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He says it like, he does that like 25 times in the Gospel of John alone. So it's not just this idea of he who has an ear, let him hear. It's many times Jesus speaking, like in the New King James, instead of saying verily, verily, he'd say most assuredly. He is speaking in such a way as listen to what I'm saying. Jesus says, let him hear. And keeping in mind, again, in the King James tradition, let meant to do something. Like in Matthew 19. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Let not men, don't do it. And to let him hear means listen to me. I thought we'd talk about it for just a little while, just this idea. The first thing that comes to my mind is that we could do a whole lesson just on types of listeners, couldn't we? People, so many times when you probably first of all meet the idea of somebody just refuses to listen for a lot of different reasons in a lot of different places in their life with a lot of different attitudes. Like in John 18, when Jesus was before Pilate, he said, "Are you a king?" He says, "For this reason I was born. I came into the world to give testimony and witness to the truth." And you remember what Pilate's attitude was toward Jesus' truth. Pilate said, "What is truth?" What's fascinating about it is what you read in his attitude of what he does next. In John, the 18th chapter, as he's listening to Jesus, in verse 38, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no fault in him at all." It was kind of like he refused what Jesus had to say, but that's about as far as it went. He wasn't any more concerned about it than that. But like, for example, if you turn over in Acts, another example would be the opposite, wouldn't it? Acts 22nd chapter. In Acts 22, remember, Paul goes back to Jerusalem and he's arrested, and he has the opportunity to speak to the people or the mob that arrested him, and he's pleading with them to listen. And he says God appeared to him and told him, let's see, Acts 22, verse 21. "And then he said to me, 'Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.'" And just saying that one word, kind of like the political atmosphere and the environment we live in today, just kind of saying the wrong word incites unbelievable animosity. The very next verse, verse 22. "And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live.' Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air." Well, it's not really like Pilate, but really the bottom line was both of them refused to listen to the things of Jesus. Jesus is pleading with people, let him hear, let them hear. But there are different kinds of people who hear, right? Let me suggest to you the more famous one that we know of. Look with me back in Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke, the 8th chapter. Again, it's Luke's recording of and the explanation of the parable of the sower. I won't go through all of it, but just look at the verse 15. Luke 8 and verse 15, Luke records Jesus as saying, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Those who are described as noble and good hearts are people who listen right to what Jesus is saying. But that's not all. That's not really the point. Look at the previous verse, verse 14. "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures." It's not just the idea of hearing, audibly connecting or saying, "Well, that's a nice story, but I don't believe in it." Not just hearing it, but the idea that we have here in verse 15, that the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Just like the Bereans over in Acts, the 17th chapter, they listened to the things that Paul was saying. They're described as being more fair-minded. And they received those things he said with all readiness. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That kind of a frame of mind, that kind of an idea. We can preach a whole sermon just on that one. Let me suggest to you another one that you might have heard of, Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. And someone who is dull of hearing. Paul is writing to Jewish brethren. He's writing to members of the church here. He's not writing to someone who refuses to listen to the gospel. But as we read this, we read in verse 11, "Of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain. It's the way my translation is reading it. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Man, what's that? It's something important because Paul wrote a letter to a group of people that he would describe as dull of hearing. Dull is defined in many different ways, and sometimes just right to the point itself or the verse itself. Sometimes it's defined as sluggish, slow. Sometimes defined as lazy. Isaiah wrote about these people back in Matthew the 13th chapter again that we had begun reading in, but later on down in the chapter. Jesus was saying after he gave his parable about the sower went forth to sow seed, and in verse 9 he would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He would continue speaking, and in verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Maybe it's just a combination of ideas. Maybe it's get lazy. Maybe they get to the point where they say, yeah, I've heard that before. And it's not this idea of coming to the revelation of God to learn and be exposed to the ideas of God. It's almost, yeah, I've heard that before. Been there, done that. And that although they may say, yeah, that's the word of God, but I never have been able to understand it. And they begin to have problems not understanding God's will. They don't grow in the way they should. They have difficulty in recognizing the world as the way it is and turning from sin, and they sometimes turn back to the world. But nonetheless, when you read in Hebrews the 5th chapter, he's writing to brethren he describes as dull of hearing. He says, I got a lot of things to tell you, but for some reason you're not wanting to hear. And then also, when you another one you'd be very familiar with, having itching ears. You're familiar with that over in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, where he talks about in verse 2, he tells Timothy, verse 2, he says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. We've got a group of people here that are followers of the Lord. They're Christians, I think you could say. But Paul is telling Timothy there's more than being baptized into the body of Christ. We have to develop a life that is of honor to Christ. We have to add unto our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience. And in other words, we have to grow a life of holiness and service to the Lord. And some reason, some people get tired, they lose interest. So many things that happen in their life and in the world begins to take their thoughts and interest away. And the idea of strong, sound doctrine becomes something that doesn't have its appeal as it once did. And so when they listen, they've already got sort of an answer in mind. Said, yeah, I've heard that before. Which is part of the problem. Most people in communication today would say that one of the biggest problems in communication is that we, all of us, do not listen as we should. We hear somebody say something, and as soon as somebody starts talking about, well, the Democrat political idea of this, and we already have a thought in mind that we will answer, instead of listening to what somebody says, instead of listening, we've already formed a response we're going to make. And so many times we don't hear what that person's saying. It's that way in business. It's that way in religion. It's that way in politics. It's just that way in life. And if we're going to listen, it takes a lot of discipline to do that. Not just have itching ears. Not just have something I desire. But to be interested in the idea of truth, and the Word of God leads us into all those things that help us and help us have fellowship with God. The Word of God gives us doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. And this is what we're interested in. Listening is hard to do. I don't care if you're talking about a political machine or within a family, where mom and dad are having to talk about things, or parents trying to talk to children. Sometimes that's so very difficult. Listening is hard to do. Winston Churchill one time said, one of the most courageous things a person can do is to stand up and speak out. It's not easy. But he said also, one of the most courageous things a person can do is to sit down and listen. He said, it's not easy. Sometimes that happens with us when we think about different types of listeners. And I haven't even talked about all of them, but I just gave you these thoughts that there are people who just refuse. And then there are people who are truly of good and honest hearts, and they're truly going to dedicate themselves to it. But somehow along the road, they can become dull in hearing, or they can become people that have, I want to hear this. And they begin to have itching ears. One of the things we must always keep in mind is this idea that we hear God through Christ. And that's so very important. Because that's almost the opposite of what so many people in the world today think. When we read Hebrews 1 and verse 1, God who had many times and in different manners spoken times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son. Well, it doesn't mean God didn't speak through Moses. It doesn't mean God did not direct and teach Abraham or Isaiah or Daniel or Jeremiah or all the rest of them. He has said at one time he did that, but today he does what? He speaks through his Son. Seems to be a simple statement, but it's such a controversial statement. The idea that God today speaks through Christ. It seems almost exclusive, doesn't it? That's exactly what he's saying. The things that he says. Look with me over in John, the fifth chapter. John, the fifth chapter, we could just spend time just amazing statements that are made here by Jesus. Well, matter of fact, he had been accused of some things. Jesus makes the statement, you'll recall, my Father is working and I am working. And that really sets them off. And so he has to explain himself. Verse 19, John the 5th chapter, verse 19, Jesus saying this. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. My. In the very next verse, verse 24, is one of those most assuredly statements about the resurrection. But drop down with me, verse 30. Jesus says this toward the end of his point. Verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus wasn't just another teacher. He wasn't just another prophet. He was God in the flesh. He was the incarnate, eternal Son of God. If you're there with me in John, look over in John, the 14th chapter. We'll just pick out one verse and continue with that thought. But in the 14th chapter of John, he says in verse 24, "He who does not love me does not love my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." Jesus claimed that very thought. And then Jesus says, "I have taken those words I received from my Father, and I have given them to the apostles." Very next chapter, John 15 and verse 15. "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you." There's a direct link there between God the Father to Jesus and to the apostles and what they taught and what they wrote and what they were inspired to teach, what you read in the 16th chapter and verse 13. Over in Ephesians, the third chapter, that's why Paul would say in verse 4, he would say, "When you read what I wrote, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Paul said, "I'm reading what Jesus wanted me to write." And again, we could talk about that for so long, but that's such... Going back to Matthew, the 13th chapter, again, just this idea of Jesus saying, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." He is saying, "I am the Son of God. I'm the Messiah. What I am saying is God's will." And so many misunderstood him that they nailed him to a cross. Let me suggest to you, though, the importance of good hearing. And again, another great study just in itself that we could look at to be blessed. Go back with me. To Matthew, the 13th chapter. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, where we started with this statement, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," in verse 9. And then we go back to that statement that we read where Jesus quotes from Isaiah. And remember what he says in verse 14. He says, "In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled." Isaiah, 800 years before Christ, had complained about the very condition of the people in his day. He said it's the same thing. It's being played out again. It's repeating itself. And just with that thought, you can see it repeating down through the years. In verse 14, he says, verse 14, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verse 17. For assuredly, there's one of those words again that says, pay attention to the importance of this statement. He's saying, assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Imagine what Abraham or David or Daniel or Isaiah, Jeremiah or Habakkuk, what they didn't hear in their life, that you and I can just open and read the words of Jesus just anytime we take the opportunity to do that. And it is just that. It is reading what has been written for us. When we talk about, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches over in the seven churches of Asia. And we wonder, well, what are some of the points to be made there? Go back with into Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation, the first chapter and verse 3. Because he makes this statement leading into the second and third chapter, but Revelation 1, verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. If we want to bless our life, let's spend our thoughts and our time and our efforts just first of all reading God's Word. And we might have to read it several times. And we might have to be honest and say, I don't understand what he's talking about. And continue reading and continue learning and begin to put things together. But he just says that blessed is he who reads and who hears the words of this prophet and keeps those things. If we want to bless our lives, how tremendous could that be, that thought? To have a saving faith. What did John say in the last chapter? Next to the last chapter. John, the 20th chapter. Many other things did Jesus do which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might what? Again, it's the very same thought that we're looking at. Look with me there. In John, the next to the last chapter, he says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Not just bless your life, but to have a life of hope, a life of power, which is what Romans starts off with, Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Are we listening to that? Or we talked about this in Luke 8:15, that we honestly could bear fruit. Again, in Luke, the 8th chapter, he is talking about someone who not just audibly hears something, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. They develop a life, and their life becomes described as one who keeps God's word, and they bear fruit enduring the difficulties of this world. That's the important things that we need so much to keep in mind. That we have an understanding of the grace of God. If you're following along, look over in Colossians, the first chapter, as he's beginning to develop the important thought there. Look at verse... look at verse 5. Colossians 1, verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Then verse 6. Which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. It's bringing forth fruit. It's having an effect. There are things being born out in your life since the day you heard it and knew or understood the things that God would have you to do. That's the fruit he's talking about. Fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. And the Word of God and the promises that we have there will develop in our life. Well, let me suggest to you, as we come closer to the end of our study, it prevents apostasy, doesn't it? And again, you might be able to recall in Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed. There's another word, another thought. Yeah. More earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? It heads off apostasy. When we take God's word and we read it and we look right at it and we have this ability to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, which we know, when we have somebody tell us, you know better than that. I think we've all heard that before.
That's exactly what he's saying here.
You know better than that. You've heard the gospel of Christ. You've heard the apostles. You're reading the apostles' writings here, and they should help you. Let me suggest to you that, to avoid rejection. Remember over in Acts, the 13th chapter, when the apostle Paul was on one of his missionary journeys, and he's striving to speak things that would help a particular town in Antioch, and they wouldn't listen to him. But we read in verse 46, and we'll run out of time so we can't develop it all. Verse 46, Luke records, "Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It was necessary the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles.'" Behold, you judge yourselves. We don't want to do that. We've got this frame of mind. Yeah, I've heard that before. I'm not interested. We're judging ourselves. We're not passing a judgment on it. We're judging ourselves. So as we come back to the thoughts that we have, and again, we could expand this easily. Jesus is saying, let him, he said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And it's always been that way from the very beginning.
I haven't been in the Old Testament very much. Look with me at two passages. Let me read two passages to you in less than a few years. Look at Isaiah 55 and Isaiah 59, same time. Isaiah 50. Yeah, Isaiah 55 and Isaiah 59. Same things happening.
Isaiah 55, verse 1. "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good." You recognize he's not talking about eating a hamburger. He's talking about putting forth your efforts and paying whatever price to learn God's will. But he says, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in the abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." You can just hear Isaiah pleading with these people. Hold your finger there and look over in the 59th chapter, because I didn't even look at this side of it. But there is another side to this idea of hearing, of not listening. And that is, if we're not careful, God will stop listening to us. And that is an important thought. Isaiah 59, verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Wow. We could start right there and go in another direction, couldn't we? All right, come back to 55 with me. It is the idea that if we're not careful with the right attitude, God will stop listening to us. But we come back. Verse 3, "Incline your ear, come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant." Down at verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Same story. It's just that when Jesus came, Jesus is saying, "Listen to me, I'm the Son of God." And it almost seems like
They really weren't. None of them were. The story is God has always pleaded with people, listen. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to me. And I think in a large degree, we're not going to understand why so many things God wanted and what He taught. I don't know why He put the tree in the garden and said, don't eat of that tree. The fact is, He did. And He said, Adam and Eve, do not eat of that tree. End of story. Maybe we'll find out later on. Maybe not. But God has given to us that His will. This is what Habakkuk finally recognized in Habakkuk's second chapter. He says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The whole world should do what? Before Him. Keep silence. He's God. He's in His place. He will reveal His will, and we should humbly accept it and by faith live it out in our lives. But Jesus is saying, he that hath an ear, listen to me. And there's so many that's not. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. You need to be able to hear the gospel of Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. I mean, it doesn't get any more pointed and straightforward and plain and simple as that. We must have a belief and a trust in Him so strong we're willing to turn our life around and live for Him. Confess His name before mankind. It's important. Because how we hear determines our relationship to Him. If you haven't rendered obedience to the gospel, you need to do so. But if you're a child of God and you've obeyed the gospel, but you hadn't lived as you should, you begin to wander back out into the world. Maybe you've grown dull of hearing. Maybe you have itching ears. I don't know. It could be 100 things. It's time to say, wait a minute. I need to listen to the right things and turn around and get my life worked out. And if that's so, we'd be more than happy to go to God's throne on your behalf. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing?